Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're watching this show and depending on the time that you're watching this show. This is Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Today. We, of course, here are live every day, noon to 2 Eastern, right here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. I'm Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia. We cover fantasy for you. We cover wagering. Today is a very big day to take a look at the proposition wagers coming up in Sunday's Super Bowl. As Joe, the game just gets closer and closer, and I feel like there's very little buzz for the game this year, of course, because of just the nature of where we're at. There's no Radio Row in Tampa. All the interviews are being done by Zoom, so it's a different one. But I would tell you that come Sunday, I know where I'll be at 6:30 Eastern, maybe even earlier.
Well, I really enjoyed your Truman Show opening to the show today. A little good morning, good afternoon. If I don't see you, good night,
too. Yeah.
Very nice. I got what you were doing. See, it's not lost on me. I just had a great conversation with actually a friend of the show who's been here on our program, Adam Murfitt, host of the 5 Yard Rush podcast over in Great Britain. He is a huge Tampa Bay Bucks fan, and he is super excited. And we were just talking about how, you know, this is one of the few Super Bowls in a very long time that feels, you know, despite all the less hype and things like that, like you're saying, no Radio Row and whatnot, and obviously the circumstances with the fans and all of these things surrounding the Super Bowl, the game itself feels monumental. And in my head, the only one I could really compare it to was the last time I felt like this going into a Super Bowl was when you had Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, and it was post-Katrina. So you had that incredible storyline and kind of the feel-good story there in the New Orleans Saints and kind of a lot of the country rooting for them. You had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That's kind of what this feels like. And that game was very entertaining. You had the second half start with that onside kick, and everybody's mind was blown, and it really was one of the few games that actually met the marquee level that was hyped for. And I think this one's going to also. I mean, go back a couple of years, you know, I don't know if the Eagles and Pats really lived up to it, and certainly the Rams Pats did not. Atlanta game did for a while, but if you're Falcons fan, it wasn't quite the same. But I think overall, this is a Super Bowl that I think even the casual sports fan can really get excited about. And I don't think it's going to disappoint. I really do feel like it's going to be a game that is going to rise to the occasion because Brady knows that the window's closing, even though I say that every year about Tom Brady, and he's still there holding the window open, basically, with two hands. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes in there too, the star power, it's all there. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm with you. I know exactly where I'm going to be Sunday.
Yeah, no, hopefully so. I think that when it gets to the Super Bowl, we've talked about this so often that we had probably a 10 to 15 year stretch where you were just hoping there was a good game. There was almost none. And then in the last decade, you mentioned that one game between the Rams and the Patriots. But other than that, the games have been pretty entertaining. And so you have to hope that that's what's in store Sunday. The Super Bowls can go one way or the other. But the last thing that anybody wants is like a 21-3 at the half or something like that. So hopefully that ends up being the case. I can tell you in my history of watching the game, this is the least buildup I've ever seen for a Super Bowl with no interviews and no media. Usually I'm watching TV and seeing all the people doing stuff. And it's just the nature of the year. Hopefully we never have to do this again. I'm looking forward next year. Hopefully Sports Grid will be at the Super Bowl next year. That would be cool. But let's get to our headlines here on this Thursday. We'll start off with a little baseball. Colton Wong signed a one-year deal with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I believe he has an option for a second or even a third here. I got to check that. But regardless of it, a good signing for the Brewers, and Keston Hira looks like he'll move over to first base. We're getting signings now like every hour, like on the hour pretty much, because players are having to report. King Felix Hernandez is back, a one-year deal with Orioles. Okay. Good luck, King Felix, with that. Also not listed here, Alex Colome signed a one-year deal with the Twins as well. So they've gotten Cruz and Colome on consecutive days. Sean Payton talking about re-signing Jameis Winston. Just very curious for me with having Hill still there too, but we'll see how that works out. And the Waste Management Phoenix Open, one of the most fun golf tournaments in the country with all the yelling and screaming on the tees and get in the hole and all that stuff. A lot less fans this year, but it's back right now. And of course, Daytona 500 is a week from Sunday too. So all the sports kind of taking the forefront here. We'll cover the NBA coming up next with Brett as well, Joe. But back to baseball here for a minute. The Cardinals non-tendered Colton Wong. He signs a one-year deal with the Brewers. Hira plays first base. And the Twins have been super quiet the entire offseason, but yet with two moves, I feel like they put themselves right back into the conversation. Cruz is back. Colome closes the ninth. Rodgers is also a pretty good closer there too. Mm-hmm. So good job by the Twins.
Yeah, Twins have been busy. Twins have been active, and they're playing catch up. Make no mistake about it. They absolutely are, because the White Sox have had a brilliant offseason here, getting Lance Lynn, getting Hendricks. You know, I think they're in a really good spot here, and they're poised to really be, I would say, dominant in that division potentially. But, you know, a Nelson Cruz coming back is just so important for that team. He is that middle of the order presence, and he has been for quite some time. And I don't care how old he is. We talked about it on the show. The guy is always going to hit until he decides to just stop playing. And the Colome signing is another one, too, where, you know, this is why you wait on bullpen things. This is why you just kind of wait and see where things go to. And I think the Colton Wong signing, too, Craig, you know, it's intriguing because not only does it move here at a first base, but it also kind of frees up Jed Jerko to play a little third base. Maybe Urias going to play a little third base, too. That, you know, the left side of the infield there at third and short, Arcia really hasn't developed into the player they thought. I think there's improvements to be had on both of those spots there on third base and on shortstop, but at least it looks like the right side of the infield's in good shape. And just for the record, too, I don't know if you know this, but in my neighborhood, if you held the Waste Management Open, there's a good chance somebody was like buried in a bunker. Just saying, in Brooklyn, Waste Management Open, it's a good chance that's going to happen.
Loud and clear. Also, Joakim Soria signs a one-year deal with the Diamondbacks, could potentially get saves there as well. All right, coming up next, it's time for our NBA fantasy standouts. Another big game for Joel Embiid, as the Philadelphia 76ers have proven to be the team to beat in the NBA. No doubt about that. Can they continue it? We'll ask that question next. Don't go away.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia, and happy to be with you here every day from noon to 2 Eastern. Now it's time to take a look at our NBA fantasy standouts. Before we do that, quick report from Shams, who says that the All-Star game is going to be played this year on March the 7th in Atlanta. So interestingly enough, I believe the Major League Baseball All-Star game is in Atlanta too. So they got a good year coming for them, but a little bit odd there, to say the least, and to have an exhibition game being played, but maybe there's some optimism there that everything can happen in terms of All-Star games as well. But March 7th is the date that they have picked for that. All right, now, we got Brett Levy here as well. Let's take a look at our NBA fantasy standouts from last night. We'll start off with Joel Embiid. If I'm not mistaken, when the Sixers have their starting five, they're 12-0, I think is what I saw this season. 34 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Domantas Sabonis again, 33 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Giannis had a triple-double for the Bucks, 21-14-10, 2 steals and 1 block. Luka with 27, 8 rebounds, 14 assists, 2 steals and 1 block. And an absolute monster game from John Collins of the Hawks last night, who continues to be one of the more underrated players, Brett, I would say, in the NBA. 35 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist. Collins is not a household name, Brett, in the NBA, but he and Trae Young are really a nice nucleus there in Atlanta. If they could get like one more player, you know, they were just on the cusp last year of getting in the bubble. They didn't get there, but the East is always sort of weak at the bottom, and Collins is really turning into a nice player.
Yeah, and Atlanta spent some money this year, Craig, in the offseason. They brought in Bogdanovich after that whole Milwaukee trade fiasco, and they brought in Gallinari. So they're definitely looking to contend and buy pieces. They brought in Capella last year as well. So they're adding, they're trying to be competitive, they're trying to build. And yeah, you know, you obviously look for 35 points from John Collins whenever you can get it. I'm not sure that's his norm, but he's a really good player, Craig, like you said. And people in the league are definitely aware of him. They know who he is, and he can put you on a poster, that's for sure, too. He's a jumper.
First of all, Brett, I just want to say I'm a little disappointed you didn't find a way to work Fred VanVleet into the show sheet today, somehow, somewhere. So let me just get that off my chest first and foremost. But secondly, I want to talk about the Mavs for a second and Luka Doncic, who's obviously played fantastic this year. He always does. But we're over a quarter of the way into the season right now, and the Mavs are still 4 games under 500. So what's missing here? Because I understand when you have great superstars, you know, they can only do so much. So what's the missing piece? It's just a matter of the schedule they've had so far. In your mind, why are the Mavs under 500 right now?
They just haven't been playing very well, to be quite honest. But, you know, Porzingis missed some time early. He then comes back, so you adjust some lineups. Then he has to get acclimated, and it's been a long time since he played. I want to say it was a meniscus injury last year. It was definitely something with his knee. So, you know, it takes some time for these guys to get back in shape. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been starting. Now he's off the bench. So they're just constantly adjusting things, trying to find the right group out there. And the right rotations, the right core of players, mix of players. So I'm not really sure why they're struggling. I thought they'd be a lot better. Honestly, they've burned me a few times in the gambling markets as well. Like, how do you lose back-to-back games to Phoenix? I have no idea. But they've done that this year. So they do need to figure it out. And I think Luka is obviously the key that makes it all go. So Luka's untouchable. The rest of them, they're going to need to find something that can work around Luka.
All right, let's take a look at our West Coast fantasy standouts. A couple East Coast in here as well. Paul George, 36 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Bradley Beal was the only one on the court last night, I think, for Washington, and they still ended up beating the Heat. 32 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steals and 1 block. Tatum, 27, 9, and 10, almost a triple-double for him. Zion Williamson, 28 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. And DeMar DeRozan, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. I'll go back to the Heat here for a second, as we have at least once over the past few weeks, Brett. There were a lot of excuses and good ones for the Heat, right, in the opening part of the season where Butler was out and then Hero was out here and there. But the reality is Brett, the Heat has one of the worst records in the NBA, and that was a team that got to the finals last year. So I'm assuming that they're better than they're showing, but there's a lot of Heat, no pun intended, here in South Florida. The fans are getting upset.
Yeah, I get it. You know, you went to the finals a year ago. You thought, you know, you're a piece away. Maybe we're going to get Giannis. Maybe we're going to get Harden. None of those end up coming to fruition. And now you're struggling on the court. So I understand why the fan base is upset. But we discussed it a few times on this show. The Heat probably overachieved a little bit in the bubble. Like, no one really thought they were the best team in the East last year. They ended up being the hottest team and the best team in the bubble. They beat Milwaukee, who was the one seed. You know, they played really well. They even played the Lakers pretty tough for getting 2 wins in the finals. So the Heat definitely have some guys that can heat up and keep you in any game. But it brings up all the questions that people were asking last year when the Heat gave Jimmy Butler the max. Is he a true max player? Is he a guy that can carry a team? Is he all these things? Last year in the bubble, he was. This season, it hasn't worked out that way. But again, I'm a big believer in Heat culture, Craig. I've told you that multiple times. There are guys that go to Miami and figure it out. And for some reason, they haven't figured it out before they got there, and they're not as good when they leave. So there is something in the water in Miami, and I think there is a chance that they can figure it out throughout the season. I wouldn't just give up on the Heat. I think there's a chance they can fix the ship here.
Brett, last night Zion Williamson had arguably his best game of the season. And I don't know about you, but you know, I know I'm a little bit older, maybe a lot of bit older, but he just reminds me so much of old Charles Barkley. You know, Charles was a bigger guy that could run the floor and handle the ball, and was a different body type than the league was really used to. And I think people forget. And as I'm watching Zion, I kind of just felt that same way even last night in those games. And I'm going to ask you this question too. Do you think as his career develops that he is going to eventually have that kind of run the way Charles did when he got out of Philadelphia and got to the Phoenix Suns, and he became just an incredible outside shooter and just was so lethal from that area? Because it feels like, you know, that could be where the trend is in terms of his development as a player, because obviously what he's doing right now with the Pelicans, he's great. The team around him, question mark. Again, once again, reminds me a lot about Charles Barkley in that same kind of situation. Where do you see this future of Zion here as you continue to see him now in his second year and then consequently in his third and fourth year in the NBA, how he develops?
Well, I do have a few friends in New Orleans, so I hope for their sake, Zion's a Pelican for life, and, you know, they all get to stay there. But I think they have 2 really, really good players, Joe. 2 players that are definitely going to be perennial all-stars, Zion and Brandon Ingram. And those 2 are guys you can build around. So I like what the Pelicans are doing. I'm not sure they have their full roster for these guys for the future, but they're so young still, and there's plenty of time for the Pelicans to get it right around these 2. They're both under contract for a while, so I like where the Pelicans are with Ingram and with Zion. And I'll give you a different top 50 greatest player of all time, Joe, because Barkley, in my mind, is just not fair to put on someone, but maybe Sean Kemp. Maybe he's like Sean Kemp, the high flyer. Again, kind of a big body, undersized for the four. Right. So if he can reach Sean Kemp, that's a hell of a career.
You're right.
He just needs to grow about 3 inches, I think, Brett. I mean, that would be the only thing for me. I think that, was it Kemp 7 feet? Close to 7 feet?
No,
Kemp no, wasn't 7 feet. No, Kemp was undersized for sure.
Was he really? Wow. Yeah. I viewed him as a 6 foot 10.
You're thinking this way, not this way. Sean Kemp later. Ah. Later, Sean Kemp, I think is what you're thinking of, Craig.
That's true. Barkley, too. Yeah, as a matter of fact. So. All right. Okay. Brett, thank you again. We will. Oh, by the way, any good games tonight? We're going to catch on the tube tonight in the NBA. Okay.
I think Brett's off.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Okay. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today. My bad.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Of course, we got the Super Bowl coming up in just a few days here. So we're going to get to that here in just a second. Just a kind of updated story. The Athletic is reporting this morning that the new president's administration is recommending Major League Baseball delay its season by 1 month. So just follow the bouncing ball here a little bit more. I know that's a report. In 2 weeks, but I can tell you that until the safety protocols are reached, I still am a little bit skeptical about all of this. But needless to say, we'll cover it for you every day, cover baseball for you until there is actually a spring training starting and a season starting too.
Can you just clarify? Wait, I just want I got to ask you because you know the answer to this, and I hate to interrupt you. I want to know. So the Major League Baseball has gone to the government to then ask for the blessing to suspend the season, or the government came to Major League Baseball and said, hey, slow this down. Okay.
Yeah, this is not something that I am reporting. It's according to The Athletic.
But that's the question, isn't it, at the end of the day? Who went to who? That's what I want to know. I want Craig Mish to find that out in the next 24 hours.
The New York Post says members of President Biden's administration, I have to ask this question when we're not on the air, but recently told owners that they would like the season pushed back 1 month so the players could all be vaccinated. Makes sense.
Yeah, but it does. Players, okay.
It does. It does. Look, I'm always on the side of the players almost every single time in these situations. They're the ones that deserve the credit. They're the ones that play the game.
Sure.
But if we can have a full season with no interruptions at all, no COVID suspensions, no looking at your scores and seeing PPD because of COVID, because all the players are vaccinated, why wouldn't you want that? I just don't understand. Why wouldn't you want fans at games? I understand that players don't trust the owners, and that's why this is happening, because they're thinking, oh, there's got to be something else. There's got to be some agenda with this. I really am not sure that there is on this one, except for fans. That the owners are definitely, it's not about being sly. It's about being financially stable. And they know if the whole season is played with 162 and they push the season back, there's definitely going to be more fans in stands this year than there would have been if they started on time. Unequivocally, that would definitely happen. And so the owners should, if I was an owner, I would push for that too. What I don't understand is there's some sort of notion that the players don't want to do it because they're skeptical of something. What, I don't know. If it's simply about injuries, Joe, like they're worried that guys are ramped up right now and then they're going to have to stop and then they're going to have to start again. I suppose there's something to that. I do. I understand that. I suppose there's something to that. But didn't we do that last year, too? They got ramped up. We stopped for 5 months, started up again.
Worse. Ramped up. We were ready to go. It wasn't even ramped up, Craig. We were a week away. You recall?
I know.
Remember Tout Wars was canceled? The draft was a week before, and then it got moved and all these things. We were a week out of the season. Well, forget ramped up. I mean, it's not even pitchers and catchers haven't all officially reported yet even. So, yeah. I mean, if you're going to figure this out, again, I don't know why we're waiting so long to do this last minute, but yeah, it does kind of make the best sense for everyone, for the owner side, for the players' health and safety. I'm sure the players, when they go on the road, they would like to be able to get out of the hotel and go to a restaurant, right? They probably don't want to work in that kind of, do they want to just stay inside and play Madden all day? Maybe some of them do, but I mean, geez, like I would think that everybody would look at this collectively and go, yes, and I get it. They have been burned by the owners many times. Many, many, many times. And they are right to have these weird scars and they get triggered. Anytime something comes from the owners, it's like, you know, a millennial gets triggered about something. That's what it feels like for the Poor Players Association sometimes. But in this instance, this is just common sense, I feel like. And then if everyone could just get on the board and just do it already, we would be better off. And then everybody would know the plan and then we could all of us react accordingly.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a chance they report and start on time, but I have been, usually I'm more optimistic on everything when it comes to baseball than others, but I feel like I'm like on an island on the other side. Like I don't think that it's going to start on the 17th, and I do think something is going to happen that this will get worked out one way or the other and they'll start. And even if they only delay 3 or 4 weeks, it doesn't have to be May 1st, it could still be April 15th or what, just like it doesn't why next week, 2 weeks, like it feels like in Florida, at least where I live, like my parents on Monday are getting their second vaccination. Okay, so it doesn't mean anything in terms of the grand scheme of the world, but if people are completing vaccines at the age of 65, who knows, maybe 1 month from now on March the 4th it'll be 55, and then in April it'll be 34. I mean, there's a chance. I think you take that chance for the players, but I don't know. I guess I can't put myself in the shoes of the players who have been burned, as you said, so many times. They don't want to see it again and they think that there's something else there. So understood. Super Bowl Sunday, Chiefs are still -3 and still -120 on the money line. The total has moved from 56.5 to 55.5. Not particularly sure why. Again, lines are very, very sharp and tight this time of the year. And maybe there's a happy medium somewhere at 56 before the game begins. But let's take a look at some props here. And let's take a look at receiving props for the Kansas City Chiefs, Joe. And this is a really good one, interesting one. Travis Kelce is -135 to have more receiving yards than Tyreek Hill. Kelce has just literally been on fire the past 4 or 5 weeks. Hill's been great too, but Kelce has just, I mean, taken every single, it feels like he's taken every single target over the middle from Patrick Mahomes. And so I don't feel like this is one that I love. I feel like it's sort of a 50-50 proposition, even though Kelce is -135, because Hill could catch, as we talked about yesterday, a 40-yard pass, 50-yard pass. That changes the game completely. But I suppose defensively, Joe, how do you think that the Bucs linebackers stack up against Kelce? Because I know that their linebackers will certainly be better than what Buffalo threw at them.
Look, I don't think anybody can stack up against Kelce right now. He has just been on fire, as you said. He's such a matchup disaster. He runs incredible routes. He's a good blocker. He's a good catcher. He's got good hands. I mean, everything you could ask. And he's got good awareness, too. And the thing that I love when Kelce's in a route and Mahomes rolls out or eludes pressure, he is able to improvise, too. And not a lot of tight ends can do that either. And that's what makes him so dangerous. And that's why you see the minus 135. But as you said, you know, when you get to the minus 150, 160, that's when wagers get a little dicey, in your opinion. I kind of agree. I actually think still around the 135, it's probably a pretty good wager. And I actually think the Tyreek Hill one isn't bad either, because the thing with Tyreek Hill is he doesn't need 9 targets, 10 targets in order to return this. Honestly, he needs 2. And that's the scary thing about Tyreek Hill, is he can do that to you. And he did it last time these two teams matched up. And I'm not saying it's going to be a repeat of the 200 and whatever, but to think they're going to hold him under, you know, a certain amount or under 100 is you know, also kind of hard to swallow. So I think Kelce is definitely the safer bet. Clearly FanDuel does as well. And I think the odds are reasonable for that. And I think if you're looking for one of the more chalky, reasonable bets, it's hard to argue against the Kelce one.
Right. It's one or the other, Kelce or Hill. So you got to pick
one. I would pick Kelce. I would pick Kelce, actually, to tell you the truth. I would. Okay. Because all I imagine you're going to do everything you can to not let Tyreek beat you. That's all. Like, because he killed you last time. Just something.
Well, this one is a better bet, I think, than the last one. Most receiving yards between these two players. We've just been fading Evans here for a number of weeks. It just keeps working. Chris Godwin, minus 140 in receiving yards over Mike Evans. Sign me up for Godwin. Thank you. Minus 140. Put it down. How could I possibly take Evans?
You can't. You can't. I mean, Godwin is just the go-to guy for Tom Brady, too. And Godwin would have had better stats if he brawled in that touchdown at the end, too, in that New Orleans game. People kind of, like, forget that moment. He had that ball, came down on the ground, and then it popped out. You pad some more stats there for Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin and Tom Brady have been fantastic together. If Tom Brady's coming back, I would be shocked if Tom Brady didn't speak to management and say, I want this guy. Chris Godwin is my guy. I mean, we did not see healthy Chris Godwin for basically the first half of the season. And then now you've got Chris Godwin here at this point here, healthy. You see the relationship. You see the rapport. These guys, apparently, when they were in whatever limited training camp they have, got along really well and were on the same page. So to me, it's Godwin too. I mean, how can you go with Evans at this point? I mean, Evans hasn't had a big game yardage total-wise in forever. I'm with you. No brainer.
Yeah, I just don't even understand this one, honestly. But okay.
They get looped. I'll explain it to you. What happens is they just go on name recognition. He's a famous wide receiver. Most casual football fans know Mike Evans. They remember big Mike Evans games, or they overthink it and they go, well, it can't always be Godwin. That's too easy. I'm going to go with Mike Evans to try to make money. And that's why they build hotels, like you said.
Yeah, I don't. This one, I'm not sure. Evans will probably have more yards as it'll turn out, but I do like Godwin in that one. All right, running back to have the most receptions. Leonard Fournette is just a huge chalky favorite over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because Edwards-Helaire has not really been a huge part of the game plan. I got to tell you, maybe the last 10 years of fantasy football, there was not a bigger sell high than Edwards-Helaire after the first week of the season. I didn't see it. I thought he was going to be great all year. I saw him play and thought, wow, he's a monster. It was like, there was like 5 guys better than him even at rookies this year. I'm shocked that happened. But if Edwards-Helaire hasn't really caught passes in the last 6 weeks, I don't see him all of a sudden, Joe, in the Super Bowl catching passes. But again, I'm not laying minus 240 on a bet, on a prop, so it's a pass.
Yeah, we're in lockstep here. It's a pass. Andrew Erickson, I was going to come on. We're going to talk to him about Leonard Fournette, who's been seeing a ton of targets the last 2 weeks from this Tom Brady offense. So it's something to keep in mind also, that it's been consistent here, Fournette, for a few weeks now between him and Tom. And you're 100% right. And with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this is the danger. This is why, you know, I don't like to overrate the rookie running backs. I told you, only 2 rookie running backs in the Black Book in the last decade have had first-round grades going into the season. Saquon Barkley, who returned value, and Ezekiel Elliott. That's it. And Helaire moved all the way up in the first rounds in a lot of drafts. We still had him in the Black Book as a late second, early road, third round pick. And even that was just good in PPR. I wouldn't say he was spectacular, but look, this is the problem. Even Jonathan Taylor finished so great. You have to be a little bit just a little reserved. But I can warn you right now, I might not be so reserved next year with Najee Harris.
All right. Well, on that note,
the holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone, you can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
We got to take a quick timeout, and Andrew Erickson is going to join us with his final look at the fantasy football season and look at the Super Bowl from a fantasy perspective. Also have some fantasy trivia, so make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, yo, welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. And we've got one more game left in this 2020/2021 NFL season, which means we got to talk to our boy from PFF, the one, the only, Andrew Erickson. Andrew, I know it's kind of bittersweet. It's exciting because we got the Super Bowl, but it's sad because it's the last real football game in a very long time. And don't tell me the Hall of Fame game, because that's not real football. But, Andrew, we finally made it here, and that is good news. And, of course, it's Florida, which means it's going to be raining. So how does that affect this game to you? They say it's going to be 75% chance of rain. I can't even say it. I'm so upset about it. That there's going to be rain now, no pristine environment, no dome. You're out there in Florida. It rains every day there. How does this affect the quarterbacks and potentially the score of this game or anything else, in your opinion?
Well, we're probably going to see an overreaction from everybody off the top. You know, the under bets are going to be start flying. Right. The line's going to move potentially because everyone's just going to be hitting the under. And I look at the line movement a lot of the time to really figure out if it's actually going to make a difference. It's pretty high right now, obviously, because it wasn't going to rain. But I don't anticipate it really causing too much. It's also so far out. You know, we're early in the week still, and you know, the weather can change. And 75% is not 100%. It also says light rain. So I'm not going to jump to conclusions. Again, you know, yes, maybe the passing offense is a little bit less efficient, but the biggest thing that we've all learned, you know, through these weather reports is wind. Right. Wind is the key factor, not necessarily the rain. So if it's 8 mile per hour winds, that's nothing. Like in light rain, that's really nothing. So again, maybe a guy falls down here and there. Maybe, you know, Leonard Fournette drops another pass. But besides that, it's probably going to be the status quo of two of the best offenses going at it.
Don't you say mean things about Leonard Fournette on our time together. Don't you dare do that. I thought we had an agreement here that we reached somewhere around week four about not doing that anymore. All right, let's dive into this game a little bit. Obviously, it is a pretty high total, like you mentioned. And maybe part of that is because of the explosive weapons that the Chiefs had, including Tyreek Hill, who last time I checked when he faced this team a few weeks ago, it was a decent game for Tyreek Hill. It was okay. It was a pretty good game. Maybe he had over 200 yards receiving. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Here's my question to you, and I kind of talked about this yesterday on the program. When you are looking at this and you say, okay, look at this incredible performance, right? Obviously, the Bucs are very aware of Tyreek Hill. They were aware last time going in. And people will look at it and say, oh, he's due for a big day again. And I'm kind of this mind where I look at the personnel's not different. In fact, the safeties have been banged up. If anything, is there a danger of a repeat potentially here with Tyreek Hill having another big game because of the injuries to the safeties? And because although you can scheme all you want to stop a guy like Tyreek Hill, at the end of the day, Andrew, don't you kind of have to have the personnel more so than anything to do it?
I think that's accurate. The personnel is really key, but the thing that they can do this time that they didn't have the luxury of doing last time was they can move Carlton Davis away from Tyreek Hill at all costs because they will have Jamal Dean available to them. Jamal Dean is their fastest cornerback. He runs a 4.3 40-yard dash. He is much more built to cover the fast, speedy wide receivers, where Carlton Davis, he's had more success covering the guys like Davante Adams, Michael Thomas. You know, over the last couple of weeks, he's been actually pretty good against containing some of these number one wide receivers. Calvin Ridley was kind of held in check. Terry McLaurin is another guy that Carlton Davis was pretty solid against. But against the speedy burner receivers, you know, Carlton Davis obviously didn't stand a chance. And that's why he gave up almost over 200 yards receiving in his coverage. You know, when we look at the shadow cornerback matchups between Carlton Davis and Tyreek Hill. So I do think that getting Jamal Dean back in action is going to help. And I think the Bucs are going to rely on running more zone coverage and just trying to make Mahomes have to pick apart the defense and not just look and see, oh, man-to-man on Tyreek Hill. Oh, sick. 80-yard touchdown coming in hot. Because that's exactly what they did the first time they played. So I think that the Buccaneers need to be more disciplined on defense. I think they need to not blitz as much because, again, Mahomes and these elite quarterbacks just rip apart blitzes. It just doesn't work, so just don't do it. Half the time, you don't even get pressure, so it's pointless. All you do is lose another guy in coverage. So don't blitz and play more zone and make the Chiefs meticulously work downfield. Right. And that kind of gets Mahomes out of his element. Like, he wants to, like, make the big throw and throw a touchdown and not, another first down. Here we go. Like, that's not Mahomes' game.
No, you're right. Now, you mentioned the word meticulous, and that always makes me think of Tom Brady. I know you and I are big fans, so this is kind of like another weird bittersweet moment for us, watching our quarterback play for another team. But there's been a little trend developing here, and that trend is Leonard Fournette. I follow you on Twitter because I'm a smart person, at @AndrewErickson_, as everybody out there should be who plays fantasy football or even just loves football. And you had a very interesting tweet about Leonard Fournette and how much action he's been getting lately. That being said, is this a guy in, let's say, FanDuel lineups this week, that if you are going to play the Super Bowl on FanDuel, that you would be making sure that you had in your lineup, and because of the trend of how many, you know, targets he might actually be getting recently?
I think that he's a great play in DFS on FanDuel because of the fact that he's just getting the work. You know, last two weeks, he has averaged nearly 20 touches per game. He has 10 receptions over the past 2 weeks, and that includes two drops, so it doesn't really matter that, you know, he's not the sexiest wide receiver or you know, guy with the ball in his hands. He's getting the work. The team trusts him. And really, the only reason why you can make the argument to, you know, maybe go to a Ronald Jones is just to kind of be different, you know. But everything else is telling us that, you know, Fournette is clearly the guy. The team has clearly turned to him as the go-to running back. And even if Ronald Jones gets involved to some extent, it's still going to be Fournette involved in the passing game. And if the game kind of plays out like Vegas projects it to be, where the Buccaneers are going to be trailing at points during the game, that's going to be Leonard Fournette's show. He's going to be the one in catching passes. Mm-hmm. And that works favorably against the Chiefs defense, who has allowed, you know, the most receiving yards to running backs this season. So it makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world that you would go for a guy like Leonard Fournette, just because he's getting all the work and he's been playing really well.
All right, so prediction time. Going to put you to it. Who's winning the Super Bowl? We've been doing it all week, so you're our guest now today. What's your score? What's your prediction? Is it another ring for Tom Brady, or is the new GOAT kind of step over him?
I want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win, so that's the team I'm going to be cheering for. But at the same time, it just because you cheer for a team doesn't mean that the team's necessarily going to win.
This is true.
I just think that the Chiefs are a better team. I think they have a better quarterback with Patrick Mahomes. They've lost one game this year. I don't know if we're really talking about that enough.
No.
Because they've lost one game, and they obviously, you know, benched players in week 17, which made them finish 14-2. But, I mean, they're going to potentially finish 18-1 and actually win the Super Bowl. So that's really hard to match, and it was the Raiders that beat them, and that game was close. So it's going to go down to the wire, I think. But ultimately, if Mahomes gets the ball last, then he's going to come away with the win.
The last 18-1 team, I remember who they were. They were the Patriots. All right, let's talk about the seismic shift at quarterback that happened in the league last weekend. Just it's one of those weird, like, you know, it's going to be a normal Saturday, and then all of a sudden Saturday night rolls around, and boom, this trade happens where Jared Goff switches places with Matthew Stafford. Now, Jared Goff says he doesn't understand why or what went wrong. And all I could say, Jared Goff, is that's what went wrong. The fact that you don't recognize what's happening here. But alas, we have a new quarterback with the Rams. So how does this affect not only in fantasy terms, but also that division now? Because Matthew Stafford, clearly, I think you and I could both agree, a better quarterback all the way around than Jared Goff. He's got a good group of weapons there. He's got a young running back in Cam Akers. He's got a great offensive-minded football coach there in Sean McVay. Great defense as well. So do you think this is very easy of like, well, I kind of described it as now Matthew Stafford is like better insured. It's like we always thought Stafford was good, but now you're putting him in a much better situation. That's kind of how I feel. It doesn't move him up too much in my regard, but to me, I just feel better about the investment. Is that a fair way of looking at the Stafford deal from that side?
I think that it's more or less reaching for upside. Because okay. Stafford has that deep ball ability that just Jared Goff wasn't, you know, showing in the offense. And I don't really think it was because, you know, Sean McVay was, like, opposed to throwing the ball deep. You know, at one point we used to call this team was coined the greatest show on surf. Like, we remember them, the greatest show on surf. They were, you know, going head-to-head 50-point game against the Chiefs, which was absolutely insane, that Monday night game. I can't believe, you know, that was Jared Goff that played in that game. But, right. You know, he had a ceiling. And over the last 2 years, it really just kind of has disappeared. And they went out and got a quarterback that offers that more upside. You know, deep ball rate over the past two seasons, Matthew Stafford ranks second and Jared Goff ranks 31st behind or in front of Drew Brees, of course. So that's kind of where they were at with Jared Goff. It's just the upside was limited. He couldn't get them past, you know, making the playoffs potentially. Mm-hmm. And really, you could credit the defense for more of that rather than the offense themselves. But I think that he just offers more upside for guys like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, who, you know, both ranked outside the top 75 players in terms of deep targets last year. And the Rams also ranked second to last in terms of end zone targets. So wow. That's really important to note because that's the money targets. That's right, where you right. score so many fantasy points is just catching touchdowns. And with Jared Goff in that offense, it was limited. And it's interesting because you look at a team that led the league in end zone targets, which was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you just see how many, you know, touchdowns all their receivers seem to score on a weekly basis. That just wasn't in the range of outcomes with these Rams receivers.
All right, so let's flip the script here. What does this do for Jared Goff? Does this basically just destroy his fantasy value altogether? I mean, I don't have too much faith in what they're doing in Detroit. If he even sticks around Detroit, we'll see. But I mean, look, let's say Superflex leagues and Jared Goff's value in your mind, where is that right now?
I think that he's really cheap in terms of like a dynasty perspective. And again, quarterbacks are tough to come by, and he's mm-hmm. still a quarterback with a first round, you know, draft pick pedigree, and he's got a 2 year contract. So he's going to at least start some games this season. And we've seen a lot of quarterbacks, you know, whether they're bad or good, you know, can prove some fantasy value, especially in two quarterback leagues. So I like him as like a buy low in a dynasty league. But in terms of, you know, a redraft format, again, he doesn't offer any upside as a rusher. We don't know what the influx of the receiver position is going to be in Detroit. I can't imagine Kenny Galladay. And if I'm Kenny Galladay's agent, I'm like, hey, man, you got to get out of Detroit. Like, you cannot stay there with Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff is not a – he's basically the opposite of Fitzpatrick. You know, Fitzpatrick is a great for, like, a Devontae Parker, Kenny Galladay receiver mm-hmm. where contested catches, tight window throws, throw the ball downfield. That's Fitzpatrick. That is not Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff does not do that. He needs guys to get open for him. He's not going to make the tight window throws. So the fit just isn't there. I think I like it for TJ Hockenson because the fact that Jared Goff going to Detroit is going to detract other receivers away from Detroit,
there you go.
Which causes the targets to then come back to TJ Hockenson. And that's obviously the biggest thing with tight end is just, dude, like, is this guy going to get targets? That's all I'm looking for at the tight end position. I think that's Swift. It's a pretty neutral move. I think that his upside is limited in terms of touchdowns because I think the offense just won't score nearly as much. But in terms of the pass game usage, I think that he's going to be heavily peppered with targets from Jared Goff, who I obviously mentioned before. It doesn't throw the ball nearly as much downfield as Matthew Stafford did.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Fitzpatrick because last time we talked, I think I mentioned, I was like, you know, I'd love to see in LA is Fitzpatrick because he could throw the ball downfield more. And then they just got Stafford instead. So that was a better move. Okay, look, every week now we got to take your temperature on this until we get an answer. Deshaun Watson, where is he going to play in 2021? Because it sure as hell is not Houston. I think we have that pretty clear right now.
I know I said the Jets before, and I just think the Jets are a strong suitor for him, but I think the 49ers are starting to make some noise in terms of being aggressive. I think that's a spot that he would potentially like to go. It just seems like an offense that could just totally blow up. And this team was 1 year away from the Super Bowl. So they clearly have pieces in place, just a couple weapons here and there. And then by him going there, it could cause an influx of players to just all follow him to that particular spot. And I will also mention as well, you know, I mentioned Washington last week as a potential spot for Stafford, but I'll say Washington because you think Washington.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Washington's defense is really good, but their offense is kind of in shambles. If they just sign Watson, if they get Watson, then they can get all these other pieces in together. They can have a fully blown offense, but it can be totally improved, complement the defense, and make Washington a legitimate contender heading into 2021.
Great stuff, Andrew, as always. Next week, you'll be back to put a button on the entire season. Stick around to more Fantasy Sports Today right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for some trivia. And you know, we've been doing Super Bowl stuff all week. So I'm going to see how smart our good pal Andrew Erickson is now. He's got a big brain, but he's very youthful. As you see, there's no beard with the gray in it or anything like that. So we'll see how deep his knowledge goes into the past. What team, Andrew Erickson, scored the most points in a single Super Bowl game? Do you know the answer, my friend? That's talking about the one team, the big number that they put up, and I'll give you a hint. It was over 50. I don't know if that helps, but there's your hint.
I believe that it was the San Francisco 49ers.
That is correct. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's young. He's handsome. He's smart. Ladies, come on. Look, Andrew Erickson. Wait, I shouldn't say that. I think he's probably got a girlfriend knowing Andrew, but look at this. He is right again. San Francisco. This was back in Super Bowl 24, January 28th, 1990. And it was San Francisco 55, excuse me, to Denver just 10. It was not a good day for John Elway.
Wasn't that Steve Young? Was that Steve Young's?
No, the Steve Young one was actually Steve Young did, I think, make it into that game later on.
Oh.
Steve Young one you're thinking of is the San Diego Charger one where he put up a 40-something spot Chargers, which is also a good one. But this was Montana, and then he's like, hey, Steve, why don't you take the rest of it? That being said, Andrew, were you born in 1990? I'm just curious.
No, I was not.
Yeah, I didn't think you were. So
I just missed it. Oh, well.
I just missed it.
So, I got Game Pass. I can find it.
You got Game Pass. I can find it. Look at you. Oh, goodness. I bet you got a lot of GameStop stock, too, don't you? Don't you? I bet you do. Dude, great job, as always. You crush the trivia. No matter what I throw out at you every week, you just throw down the gauntlet. I love it. Again, make sure you go follow the dude over on Twitter. Check out all of his work on Pro Football Focus. Again, it's Andrew Erickson_. It's been a fantastic season. I can't wait to put a button on everything next week with you. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I mean, we are here. We're finally at the very end. And you and I are probably going to be there wearing our Tom Brady jerseys, kind of hoping to see him win one more because we're fans. But I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a tough day at the office for Tom. But then again, never tell Tom Brady no. And I can tell you no either because we got a whole other hour of Fantasy Sports Today when we come back. So stick around right here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.